Kaye, Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Kaye, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
This is a more exciting room in our second time recording than as is implied by my background, Laurie Kilmartin.
Yeah, I mean, that is a pretty horrible curtain. Is that the Mirage or the
No, the Rio. You? The Rio, but okay. I mean, at least the curtain has some sort of pattern to it.
Little pieces of pie. Yeah, wonderful.
Well, at least it isn't just like the where I adjust the heat and then some sort of vent. So I'm still in Las Vegas. I had the best set of the week of 14 sets. Second show tonight.
Finishing strong.
That is the most positive thing that could be well played. Yes. Finishing strong. There you go. I also played a board game today called Relive the Cold War in 10 Minutes. That was their log line. And it was It was not a great game. It's one of those games, because there was a board game convention that was here in Las Vegas. Yeah. And so Andy was here for 4 days. He left today. Mm-hmm. He went back home today, and I go back home tomorrow. And I'm home for like 2 weeks, and then I come back to Las Vegas.
Jackie, don't you miss those Cold War terrorists in West Germany? The Biedermeierhof gang, the Red Army, the people that who's the Italians that stuffed the prime minister in a back of a trunk? Aldo something?
The nostalgic times of our teens. Yes.
Those
were the days. What about when hijackers would take a plane to Cuba, right?
Like once or twice, but yeah.
I believe it happened more than two times. It felt like it happened more than two times. And it was back when you could bring a gun onto the plane and no one thought to check.
I'm surprised. I bet we go back there knowing America. It's a blip that you can't bring an AK-47 onto an airplane.
Oh, you think it's just they're going to fix that. They're going to retcon that.
They're going to want that back.
We're going to want that back. Well, I guess Trump is quoting Hitler and then saying he didn't know that Hitler said that.
Well, I missed that. Was that just tonight?
It was yesterday. It was because it's Sunday. Oh. Yeah, over the weekend, he said that the bloodlines of America are being befuddled or some fucking thing. And I paraphrase. Okay. I don't believe Adolf Hitler ever said befuddled. Or Donald Trump, too adorable to be said by either of those two shitbags. And then the other thing is he said something about the migrants, and he said they speak languages. Nobody's even heard of these languages. Spanish.
Yeah. I mean, yes, Jackie, we could talk about Donald Trump.
We don't
no
have
one
to.
Has. No. There's right. no.
There's no
like,
need for it.
It's
so
like
sorry.
Shouting at a wall. And
but if you had been trapped in Las Vegas for 7 days and surrounded by, you know, and there's so much crowd work, right? That is being done in the beginning. So everyone's from like Texas or Arizona, wherever they're from. And then Mark does a couple of jokes, you know, they're MC jokes. He's screwing around, you know. It's a Biden cocaine bear joke. It's a Trump abortion bill. I paid it.
Jackie, it's not art when you're hosting in Vegas, okay?
No, you're grinding bills. Six nights a week, this guy.
Yeah, that's
every
tough.
Week. Two shows a night.
Jesus. Were you up first every night? Like, or did
almost
the order
every
change
single
it?
Night. Almost every show.
Okay.
And you know how it is often with a woman comic? There's often a freak show where you get the sweet spot, right? There's it was Orlando, Dennis, Noah, and Mark. So Mark, you would have thought that I would have gone third every night.
Right.
Second just or third. To, mix it up.
They do that to let the audience know, hey, we did book a woman. But they want the audience right. to worry for two or three comics. Two or three men. Yeah. And then they yeah. go, surprise. Yeah.
Huh? Right. Same with people of color. And, you know, mm-hmm. and it was, I mean, it was, this week was a lot. I was sort of, you know why it was good? It was because Andy was here for 4 days. So I had someone to hang out with. I had someone yeah. to, you know, it was not that the guys weren't nice enough. They were actually a pretty good bunch. And, one of the guys got sick. He got the flu. So he had to bow out on Thursday, just 6 or 8 shows into the week, poor thing. And so he was replaced by Dennis Blair. You remember Dennis?
Mm-hmm. Oh, didn't he open for Carlin for a long time?
Yeah, decades. Guitar guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, very funny. A hit with the American public. A nice man. And we all went for dim sum. Today I got to tell Dennis Blair my guitar comic joke, which is I think I've told it to you, and now I'm going to tell it again just because I've been alone for days, but I haven't. I've just been alone for, I've been alone for hours, and it feels like days because it's Las Vegas.
Right.
It was I didn't have sex for a long time, and then I finally had sex, and a friend of mine asked me if it was safe sex, and I said there's nothing safer than a guitar comic. And that is
Jackie. What is this, guys? We fucked. Come on now, eat it up, lady.
Just think of the Patreon. Where's my water? God. There it is. How was Salt Lake?
Thanks for the boob shot there, Jacqueline.
Sure.
Well, let's see. It was really fun. We had a 6 o'clock show tonight. So this week. I opened for Gary Gulman, and he filled the room, and it was pretty wild to see. I mean, people love him, and like when he would walk through the showroom just to get to the green room, there would be applause, you know, and people would like be screaming a little bit. And he is so funny that his bits are so long and they just keep unfolding, and they're all like little universes that they kind of bump into each other and connect and disconnect. And it's really, he was one on the Friday, excuse me, the Saturday Late Show, he did 2 hours.
Wow.
And maybe a couple people left, but I'd say 95% stayed for the whole thing and, you know, just loved it. So I did like 15 up front.
Okay.
And, you know, that's really difficult.
Yeah.
Because it's a weird
amount of time. Yeah,
it is. And going up cold and just going, well, I'm not going to talk to the audience. I'm not going to do about 80% of the things I normally do because it's not my show.
Right.
And I want to be, you know, I want to be clean, you know, set the table, you know, so Gary can have the meal but still do well, like do well, but obviously, but you know, work on material. Like I gave myself a couple, like 2 little jokes to work on that were working, but they're not like, they need, you know, better placement and all this kind of stuff. So like I had a little assignment, but it was also one of those things where I'm not a dirty comic, but I'm also kind of dark, and so I would start jokes and be or a bit and be like, oh,
now I remember where this goes.
Oh yes. right. I mean, this is all technically clean, right? And I'm like, is this too? And then I'm gonna be, you know, whatever. It was that kind of stressed me out, worrying that things were too dark, right?
Yeah.
They weren't. Everybody was happy with everything. But yeah, you know that feeling versus, you know, when it's your, when you're headlining, it's like, I'll do what I want.
Yeah. Right.
It's a different feeling. That's all. And it's a lot harder to do 15 minutes than it is to do an hour.
Oh yeah. especially it's a weird, like, this is the second week of me doing 15s.
Right.
Though the last three nights, I think I've been, no, since Tuesday. Yeah, so George Wallace came on Monday. You'll remember from last week's episode when I was still here.
I know. A lot of that hurt.
It sure is. And but after George Wallace stopped showing up that one night, and then the next night we did 15s, the night after that we did 17s. So after that it was mostly 17s. And the show started late a couple of times. Tonight it started late. That's why I was a little late getting here. But yeah, there the guys, they all ate in the employee dining room. And I was like, better you than me, man. And but tonight I just kind of there's a soft serve machine. And I'm not made of stone, Lori. I like soft serve.
You were finally tempted.
So I just went down to get soft serve and they were there. And I was like, all right, I guess I'll have French toast at 8:30 at night. That's been in a steam table all day long.
Oh, God.
I know. And then, but I had already had an ice cream cone. And then I had already had, yeah, it was a lot of sugar.
Horrendous.
That's what I had for dinner. Yeah. I had a pile of sugar.
And the order was horrific. You should have closed on soft serve, opened with French toast, right?
Oh, except for that I had soft serve. And then Noah was getting a soda. So I went up to the soda machine. And I was like, oh, they have root beer. And then I made a root beer float with the soft
serve. Hell yeah.
And then I dipped the French toast in the float. It wasn't a positive moment, supported, by the way, entirely by the three male comics around me. So
wait, did I just hear you dipped French toast into a root beer soft serve float?
Yeah.
That is appalling.
Yeah.
Those things should not be, they should not, and this they is, should be this disassociated.
Is you. This is you, what? Lori Kilmartin, telling me that what I've chosen to eat is gross. You who have had your taste buds shot off in the Chef Boyardee Franco.
I'm saying together. No, you have one and then you pause and have the other. You don't mix those two things. They are.
Oh,
they
I know are, it's they... foul. Total support, by the way, from Mark, from Orlando.
Comics, that's your defense. Is male comics you're defending you? Do you realize how low you've
it's
signed?
It's airtight.
It is.
You already have a soggy waffle, and then you're making it more soggy with root beer. That is revolting.
I didn't put any syrup on it. I think that's a step in the right direction.
All right.
It was, yeah. No, it was, but I'll tell you something. The dim sum I had for breakfast, which was the other thing that I ate today, was really, really good.
It sounds delicious.
Yeah, it was great. It was nice. Yeah.
This is my inaugural road week with my little ninja blender where I can make a smoothie.
Okay.
So what I did, I got my blender. It's a USB, you know, you charge it, right? And so at the airport, I got milk $9 and a banana for $40. And then I brought them here to the hotel. Because the hotels, you know, they usually just have the pantry, but it's all shit, right?
Right. And you don't know if they're going to have bananas. Sometimes they do.
And what they're going to have.
They might even be free. But you better buy a $40 banana if you ever want a freaking banana.
No, you have to load up at the airport after you land, right? Mm-hmm. So I bring it back. I make a smoothie. It's not the same strength as my home blender, but it's something. And I was like, this is not bad.
All right.
I have to toggle with it, and you know, it's not as cold as I like, you know. But because I usually use frozen blueberries, but of course, like you can't buy frozen blueberries at the airport. But you got to buy it at the airport because you can't bring it with you.
Right.
Anyway, so that was a fun little experiment. So now I have two little devices to cook with. My little ninja blender and then my little collapsible tea kettle, water heater.
Oh, wow. You have a
Yes, I bring a full... Yes, I bring a... I'm close to bringing a full kitchen with me on the road. In addition to
a propane tank,
stage air purifier and a restaurant air purifier. So, the idea that Delta might be raising baggage fees and that will spread across... across the industry is very distressing to me.
I bet. Oh my God, that sounds... oh, I'm so sorry. What did I... yeah, this room has a fridge, and I did... There was some trouble in the green room where there was only Coffee Mate, and so I got a bunch of little creamers at the diner one morning we ate. And then for the next 5 days, I've left those in the fridge here. I've never brought them down to the green room like the I meant to.
Is there like a little 7-Eleven where you could get like a thing of creamer for next time, a carton, a container, or something?
I rented a car for this one.
Oh, that's right.
That's right, and I returned it today because I got such a deal on this car, $11 a day.
That's crazy, but it was.
Here's
the tax
why.
Was what?
Well, yeah. But it was $100 in tax. It was $109 in tax.
Total.
The total for seven days was $209, something like that. And I was like, okay. I would like that, please. But I brought it back today because here's how you get to the when you come to Las Vegas, if you'd like to rent a car, and there is free parking here at the Rio, which is great. You take a shuttle to the car rental place, and then you take another shuttle to a place that has cars for $11 a day. A third, you don't want to go to a second destination. So
you
today
never do a second location, Jackie.
Right.
That's where they kill you.
Right. That. And so I called him today and I said, do I have to do this to, or will they just drive me to the airport from Advantage? And Advantage said, oh no, it's a two stopper again. And I was like, all right. So what I did was I dropped Andy off at the airport and then I drove to Advantage and then I took a Lyft back to the hotel and I will take a Lyft to the airport tomorrow and it'll be fine.
Okay. So I flew into Salt Lake, right? So you may have done this. What terminal did you fly into when you did your Park City gig? Do you remember?
Nope.
Okay, so that means you flew into Terminal A. Because, Jackie, when you fly into Terminal B in Salt Lake City, you are about a 20-minute walk to baggage claim. To the point where I would just mention that on stage and the crowd would start to laugh because they all know how horrendous it is. It is a failure of architecture and infrastructure. And Southwest paying enough for a better gates. So
I think I remember that, but here's what it isn't that we all know that the Salt Lake terminal isn't the Harvey Milk terminal in San Francisco.
Oh, here we go again. Yeah.
You love it. You love it. So
I do love it. I was going to leave it alone for one podcast. but I was shocked. Like the flight got in a little delayed. The antenna went down at Burbank Airport. That sounded like I was going to have to cancel the whole weekend. But then it went back up, so we took off, right? Land. Wow. Takes a while to get off the plane. Then I keep walking and walking and walking. And I'm like, I thought I went the wrong direction. I turned around again. I couldn't believe the baggage claim would be so fucking far.
Right. Without a train or a moving walk. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it shouldn't have taken movers, but... At this point, they need a shuttle. They need like a little shuttle taking you around the train. You shouldn't be on those little moving walkways. It's not enough.
That's nuts.
But they won't, you know, you had to have already built the shuttle. It's part of the structure of the airport, and they just didn't do it.
Right. Wow.
And then when you land, there are just like tons that there are families greeting their loved ones who are coming back from missions. So there's like massive, like, seven children families.
There's just, you know, Mormons, the beautiful Mormon families, where they've been talking it up.
They're
talking up that book that was written in the 1800s. Yeah.
And that's the most recent one. And it's also the craziest. It's kind of weird. You would have think you would have thought that cults would get less crazy the more we progress, but no.
No. Have you read any of that Scientology stuff? Holy smokes.
Jackie, I'd like to talk to you about that privately.
You're clear.
That's my final form, is I'm going to be a Scientologist. And then
your final form.
Who knows?
All right. Wonder Twins, activate. What about the showbiz thing that was today? What about that? Did you
Which
care about that?
That?
Oscars?
What? I saw the, because the show was at 6, I couldn't watch too much of it. But I also am never, every time the Oscars have been on, I've been at home and I don't have the television. You know, I just do streaming. And so it's a pain in the ass to watch. I watched it on a regular hotel TV. I thought Kimmel's monologue was really good.
Oh, good.
And
I didn't get to...
the first couple things I saw, they had for Best Supporting, and I guess they did this for all the actor awards, is they had, someone keeps knocking. I don't know. Well, you know what? I'm just talking loud. They had 5 previous Best Supporting Oscar winners, like, give the, like be connected to one of the nominees, you know?
Oh, wow.
And say something about the nominee. It was really cute. It was really neat. So yeah, that was cool. So the shows were awesome. And then the Friday late show I headlined, and I had a decent turnout. I only retweeted it once, you know, because I didn't want to see, you know, cause I was there in a beta position, and I didn't want to, you know, flaunt the alpha, but had a decent turnout and the show was really fun. As soon as I get this footage downloaded, a woman did fall asleep in the front row, which to me was the best thing that could have happened. And then, so we have a little bit of that coming as soon as I can get that clip together.
Yeah. I have a couple of sets that they're going to send me from the cellar this week.
Oh, cool.
They were fine. Everyone had a good time, but they were a mess because again, I was doing 15s and I wanted to set up the next comic. I wanted to be of support. And so I had a hard time opening with the stuff I normally open with. They're all on vacation.
Yeah. Right,
and
right.
So,
and they've just been talked to, so they don't. They kind of don't know what jokes sound like yet.
Right. Right. That's true too. Yeah. What jokes
sound
like?
You're doing a lot of work. When you're up right after the MC, you actually are doing a lot of work. You're sort of, you're taking the command of the ship and steering it in a different direction because it has been steered towards chatter.
Right. Right. Oh, good point. Huh. All right. Well, I'm going to think about that. You're coming home tomorrow, right?
I am, and I'm flying through Las Vegas. What time do you? We're not on the same flight, are we?
I don't. I'm gonna after we record this. I'm gonna try to change my flight because right now, I'm in a connecting flight to Oakland.
What? Oh, that's insane.
I know, and they're like, "Well, if you bought the version of Southwest where you can do same day change." Otherwise, it would be $100. And I'm like, I've already spent several $100 variously on cars and Ubers and, you know, so.
It sounds like you could do it for free. Hold on. I'm going to tell you what flight I'm on.
Okay.
And you might want to avoid it. I don't know you. I'm on a Las Vegas to Burbank, departs at 12:20.
Oh, you're on the 12:20. All right.
Yeah.
Do you know why? That one's pretty full. I hope you got an A.
B38.
Okay.
I think I'll be able to bring my carry-on.
Yeah. And I might be on the 1045 direct. And if I can get on the 1045 Las Vegas, otherwise it's like an 11 a.m. that goes through Oakland. And I get back at 3. And I'm doing the Blind Barber tomorrow night. So they asked me to do it. And it's a really cool show. Otherwise, traveling, I would say no. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great show.
I have so many sets. Just random shows this week. I'm doing Uncab on Friday. I'm doing something called Cranes before that.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm doing Cranes. West Side.
Nice.
I'm doing the Comedy Store on Saturday or Sunday.
Nice.
And then we have our Flapper show.
Our Flapper show, guys. We have Felicia Michaels, Aparna Nancherla, and who's our third?
Jenny Yang.
This is a hosted. Killer lineup.
Winter Spears going to host it.
We have to host it. Oh, my God. So come out to that. It's going to be a party. I might have my new merch.
Oh, yeah?
My merch. Yeah.
That's okay.
It ties into a bit that is just starting to gel all together and will be easily part of the act for about a year.
Nice.
So I'm pretty happy about that.
All right. Well, I can't wait to see it. That's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I will say that. So what's the date on that? Is that, are we in April?
March 18th.
Then, or is that March 18th is when it is?
Yes.
Okay.
Monday, March 18th.
Yeah. I'm home for like 2.5 weeks. And then I come back here to open for Brian Regan at the Venetian. I didn't get to hang out with any comics like Jen Kober and Tom Rhodes. They wanted to hang. I wanted to hang. But I really wanted to hang with Andy. And I really didn't. And they didn't want to come here. Tom Rhodes and Jen Kober.
Were they both working at the same place?
No, Rhodes was headlining the Laugh Factory. Mm-hmm. And Jen Kober was at Brad Garrett's.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I saw both of them in the last week. That's weird.
Wandering the clubs?
I saw Jen at Hermosa, and I saw Tom at Westside.
Nice.
Yeah. So, let's see.
I'm interested in Gary Gulman's 2-hour set where
a lot
of different pieces...
Yes.
Connected, but we're separate.
Yes.
I may have to listen to his stand-up. I haven't seen him in years. I haven't seen his set.
Yeah, he's so smart. And there's a lot of things where like, oh man, I would not even drop that reference because I would just assume people would peel off, you know?
Huh.
But they don't.
No.
They're with him.
Yeah.
I guess he has created a smart audience for himself.
Right.
Meanwhile, I was just editing the Paris, Texas show where a woman was yelling Beaner from the audience. So yeah, we have different crowds, but, no, it's really amazing to watch. And, it didn't feel like long, you know?
That's amazing.
He just kept following little, he would make little, dig out little tunnels and then and walk into them and crawl around and then come back and then come to another one. And seeing, you know, four of them, they weren't all the same. Every show was a little bit different and he would go off on these little riffs on one chunk.
Yeah.
And then the next night I'd go off on the riff. And I'm like, oh, is that just optional for you because that one got a whole bunch of laughs but you're not going to do it every night,
right?
It's weird. I mean, it was like you left gold, you left money on the table because I you had an extra chunk on that part before, but you know, when you're doing that long, you can just pick up the pieces that you want to pick up,
right? Work on the stuff. Is he working from notes?
No.
Has he got a set list? No?
It's stuff that's inspired by his memoir. He spends a lot of time saying this right up front that it's not the same jokes in his memoir, Misfit. And then he talks about Jerry Seinfeld. Actually, like, he's when he was a student, he spent $26 on Jerry Seinfeld's memoir, and it was his act, and he was furious. And he's been angry about that for 30 years. So he promised the audience that he wasn't doing that to them. If you have a chance, touring a lot. So if he comes to your city, he is definitely worth the ticket price.
All right. Hey, let's take a quick break.
Back for another game.
You know it.
What's going on?
Just one more week till Max Fun Drive.
Hard to believe. It's been a heck of a year since the last one. We're now a worker-owned co-op. We raised $50,000 for charity last year.
And we've added a bunch of awesome new shows. But do you think we're ready to do it again?
Absolutely. Lovely new gifts are lined up. The episodes will be amazing. And wait till everyone hears the bonus content.
Yeah, plus they know to go to MaximumFun.org/newsletter, so they're getting all the news. Oh, like that meetup day is on Thursday, March 21st.
Then what's bothering you?
Me? Oh, nothing. We're all set for Max Fun Drive to start on Monday, March 18th. I just didn't want you to see this coming. Check.
What? Hang on.
And let's do Comic of the Week.
Oh, yes. Okay. So our Comic of the Week, let me get her last name because Elena Hershey. Yes.
Okay.
So she was my feature on Friday night.
Oh, cool.
Salt Lake. Very funny. Former Mormon, has really funny material about that. And I sensed was speaking to a lot of former Mormons.
In the audience.
So it was pretty cool. She had mentioned that she had done, a dry bar, but in Ohio. And I didn't know this, but apparently Mormons and evangelicals dislike each other intensely. And she got some resistance from a more evangelical oriented crowd. I'm not saying the crowd had evangelicals in it, but they had been taught to distrust Mormons.
Right.
And so the stuff she talked about that, you know, she thought was pretty accessible material, they were like arms crossed, angry.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. Elena Herschel. Hershey?
Yeah, Hershey. Okay, let's spell it. Because
A-L-A-I-N-A, and then H-I-R-S-C-H-I.
Let me do this.
Handle, go for it.
Let me do it. All right. It's Ala Aina. That's how you spell it. Ala Aina, Elena, A-L-A-I-N-A, underscore. Here's where she goes off the rails. Underscore. H-I-R-S-C-H-I.
It'll be in the notes.
It'll be in the notes, and you could just probably look up Elena with an A, Hershey, and it'll pop up, and you don't have to remember all the underscores.
Love it.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah, I wrote like two new premises this week. I feel like I have enough premises to last me the next 3 years if I can work on these bits. Mm-hmm. I would like the give and take of an audience. I should just go to open mics is what I should do. But, because I'm having a hard time figuring out how to work them into, well, especially in the last 3 weeks. But,
Jackie.
Yeah, yeah.
Why not just take two of them and drill down for a couple weeks and leave the other ones alone? Shore
that's
those
what
up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the driving bit is almost, I've pretty much abandoned half of it just to work on the first part, and it's working pretty well. I mean, and the cool thing about the driving bit is that it's a bit about driving, Laurie. I can do that anywhere. That can be something I do when I open for Brian Regan. It's something that everyone will like as a palate cleanser after my Made of Bees joke. Everyone on board. Everyone would like.
Sometimes you just need those.
You genuinely
I just pushed
do.
Pushed away half the audience. Sorry, critics. Mm-hmm. This will just be a club favorite. Sorry, it's not going to make your best of comedy bits of the year. right? But it gets the audience back in my pocket.
Right.
I'm just saying in general. Sometimes I feel like comedy critics don't understand that we work in comedy clubs, that we aren't all working theaters, and that we have to have dumber bits to hook these idiots in so we can do our smarter shit.
There's it's always interesting when you see someone who has a crowd that's super just willing to hear, you know, just willing to sit.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds like Gary's crowd was like that, where they're like,
totally,
yes.
Totally. Yeah, they were very excited
about
to
Gary
see
Gulman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what it's like with Bamford. She's had a bad cold or flu that I talked to her for the first time like 2 days ago. And she was like, yeah, really kicking my butt. And she was like, I have to lie down. And she didn't, she sounded all stuffed up and everything. And she's like, God, I don't want anyone to think that I'm faking it. And I was like, who would? And she's like, I suspect some people think that I just want to lie down.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, no.
But it's she so famously because would tell you that she wants to lie down. Like, there's
right.
No one would expect Maria to fake it. Unnecessary.
No, she would just say no. And
decades
not go.
Ago, she said, I will be lying down when I feel like it, and I'm not going to make up excuses. So we know that.
Right. We know that it's all real. If she's sick, she's really sick.
It's been a bit then. Was it norovirus is going around as well as obviously COVID's always going around, but there's a couple things that are really going around a lot that are making people quite ill.
I think it's just she said it was just kind of a regular flu, but it just kicked her butt. And so hopefully hopefully she'll be better this week.
Yeah.
And I go home tomorrow.
I'm at the Pleasure Chest on Tuesday night. Oh, wait. You know what? These people aren't going to hear this because this is dropping on Wednesday. I forgot our new
Vision
Point.
So what I'm doing. Pleasure Chest are, yeah. Those are already
gone. Here's what I'm doing. So I'm flying out on Wednesday to New York City. Going to get in late. Now, hold on, Jackie. I'm taking Southwest.
All right.
It's going to be a long travel day because we're going to stop someplace. But we land
just
at
once.
Land at LaGuardia. Oh.
Okay, you gotta love that. Yeah,
you do. So I'm pretty excited by that to see how that goes. Comparing it to JetBlue, which is a red eye landing at JFK. That's always a tough night for me because I can't sleep and I just feel like shit. But we'll see. So I'm excited. So then Thursday, I am going to take Amtrak down to D.C. I'm doing Improbable Comedy, which you did at the Poets, Busboys and Poets.
Oh, yeah.
Cafe, I think it's called.
Oh, you're doing the Busboys and Poets?
Yeah.
All of this is so familiar. And then you said Busboys and Poets, which is a really nice cafe and bookstore and then has a theater space in the back.
Yeah.
And
that's
it was,
what I'm doing
it's delightful.
On Thursday.
Oh, good.
So I got to start promoting the hell out of that tomorrow. And then
that's your Delaware.
If you're in, D.C. or I think it's Silver Springs, please.
Right.
This will be my only time there ever. I will never return after this. This is a one time only gig. Come out. Friday I'm doing like a winery, but it's kind of, I think it's an in-house winery thing. I don't know. It seems like they weren't trying to push ticket sales and stuff. And then Saturday, I'm at the Stand. I got 5 spots at the Stand. And then Sunday, I come home. Monday, we do our thing at Flappers. And then Tuesday, I fly out to Chicago. And I do Chicago on the 20th, Lincoln Lodge. And then the 21st through the 23rd, I'm at Ann Arbor.
Nice.
A lot of time out.
That's great. Yeah.
Not much time off. Yeah.
Right. That's a lot of weeks in a row. This is me coming home after 4 weeks out. I was just home one day, Sunday.
Yeah.
And now I've been gone for another 7 days. And it's weird because the stop and start of the travel stuff is sort of the weird part of it for me. But I am looking forward to doing a boatload of sets in LA because I can work on those new bits. Mm-hmm. Because LA crowds are like, please talk about something that you've never, that isn't done. And you're like, they would also like it to be funny, which is, they're asking for a lot, but they're not wrong. They're not.
Sure. They're not asking all the crowds for more want than the laughs. Yeah.
Right. They want, but you know how LA crowds are just like, I'd like you to talk about something you've never talked about. And boy, do I hope it has a great punchline. And me too. Me too.
I think that's all coming from you. I think LA crowds frequently were forced to come to the show by their friends.
What do you think about this?
Yes.
What do you think about this premise, which is something I wrote down today that I actually had this thought in my mind, which was, I'd like to tell you what I'm not going to stand for. And then I thought, when did I turn into somebody's grandfather? That is the premise. I think there's something there, is that I've decided that everyone should be reading Louis L'Amour and possibly talking about how the car is running.
I've never heard a Louis L'Amour bit, so I'm on board. I have heard car bits, so the bar gets a little higher for car and driving. But Louis L'Amour is virgin territory, as far as I'm concerned, comedically.
Right, it's untouched. I will say this, my favorite Louis L'Amour book is the one where the lone guy comes to town and helps everyone. That's absolutely every book.
So I had two jokes that were sort of like independent contractors. They were not connected to anything, and I didn't know how to get into them because then I would be in the topic and then I'm done. And then I think this week I figured out how to connect them a little bit so that one of them can start a new chunk and then the other one can end one. So I don't know. Wow. That may be.
That's huge.
I don't think I stuff that I didn't have the guts to try in a 15-minute set in front of a sold out house. But I did have stuff that needed different setups or different positioning, and so that was kind of where I experimented more. And so I think I got a lead. A fish bit on that line, and I think a new chunk is forming. A new star is being born in the universe. A three joke star.
Congratulations! I received.
Thank you.
I got the don't tell set.
Oh,
they sent it to me.
Yeah,
and it was funny because the notes I got with it were, "Hey, we like the whole set," and I watched them both. Like one was like 14 minutes and change, mm-hmm. and one was 10 minutes and change. And they're like, "The 10 minutes and change, we get you in the audience is already excited. You know, they've already been laughing for 3 minutes."
Yeah.
And so the first joke out of the shoot pops. You know, it's on fire.
Yeah.
But the longer set, they like the longer set better just because of the jokes in the first 3 minutes, I assume. Mm-hmm. And so I watched, and I only watched them once. I could watch them again. Feel free to check my published works to see if I ever fucking do. I never will. And what I said was, I was like, oh, well, if you want to use the 14-minute bit, that's fine. I mean, I did all of those jokes because I knew that they would be used, right? So, mm-hmm. and they were all well received, though I see why they started it a couple minutes in.
Oh, I see.
Because
yeah.
that first joke on the short set gets a very large response. And the first mm-hmm. joke in the beginning is just introductory laughter, you know?
Right,
it's
right.
That, that's funny. I wonder who this lady is. Mm-hmm. And then you tell another joke and they laugh a little bit harder. You know, you're familiar with how stand-up works. Anyway,
I've seen it several times this week.
you've seen how it's done. And so I liked the way my outfit looked. I think I'll do the lady again. I think I'll get the stylist if she's willing to buy me some more stuff.
Cool.
And yeah.
Remember when we were getting stuff from Stitch Fix? That was kind of fun, right?
Right. Right. I
there was
that.
A couple of good purchases, you know?
I did I had an ad, there was an ad on the Dork Forest for something called Fab Fit Fun. And it was one of those boxes, like a mystery box full of crap. Ugh. And it had right. It was just landfills. But yeah. A couple of the things were really fun, quite honestly. Like I got one free box, and the box had like a tiny teapot in it that I still use. And then I also received a necklace that I wore earlier this week. I wore the outfit I wore just the top from the Don't Tell set, and I didn't have that double-sided tape, so it was a lot of it's a bit of a boob shot. It was a lot of sternum, and then some cleavage, enough cleavage for there to be some side boob if you came in drone wise.
You know they do.
People, it was the staff at the Comedy Cellar was that that's some of the, one of my favorite parts of this gig. Has to be the staff. The staff is hilarious and adorable. And especially the wait staff. I really like them, and the sound guys. And they made fun of me because of that shirt, because I asked if they had any double-sided, just any scotch tape. I was like, do you guys have any? I would just like to double-side my left breast here and cover up the swell of my breast. nobody needs to be staring at my sternum and some serious cleavage while I'm trying to talk about anything, quite honestly.
Jackie, I'm gonna disagree because look at the way the industry's headed. We should all be showing side boob constantly at all times.
I thought about that actually. The staff was a big fan. They were like, do it, show it, don't worry about it. And so I got up and I tried not to comment on it.
Yeah.
And then I think I made one. You know how like, you know, because stand-up comedy, nobody, self-deprecating stand-up comedy is annoying. It's, if there's one comment, it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, you can sort of get away with it. More than that, you're just, the audience is sad. They're like, aw, I wish you liked yourself better.
They don't think that shit about people. You know, like they're not thinking that about you, you know,
Need you to be good looking. Yeah. They don't need you to be unattractive. They don't need you to be attractive. They need your joke hole to open up and have words come out of it.
You know what? We, you know, our Patreon, we do for $5 and up people, we have an interview, approximately once a month. Sometimes we get a little behind, but guess what? March's is going to be out on Monday. And we did you and I spoke for 30 minutes to Deb DiGiovanni, who is so fucking funny. She's so just good, like such a killer stand up. And she just taped an album that she's going to call Sweat.
That's right. We made that decision together.
She firmed it up. Yeah. And then, you know, we'll be promoting that. But if you want to listen, now's the time to become a $5 a month Patreon, and you can listen to all of our previous interviews. You can hear us talk to somebody else.
I think there's a dozen of them. Yeah.
Yeah. At least.
There's
some great ones. I was going to get you a list. Yeah. Martha Kelly.
Marcella.
What else did we do recently?
Maria.
Anyway, let's not go from
Laura
memory.
House. Yeah,
Laura House.
Yeah.
We're not.
We'll leave people out. Yes, we'll leave people out, and we don't want to do it. So we'll get the list going. Hey, let's take a second break, shall we?
Most of the plants humans eat are technically grass.
Most of the asphalt we drive on is almost a liquid.
The formula of WD-40 is San Diego's greatest secret.
Zippers were invented by a Swedish immigrant love story.
On the podcast Secretly Incredibly Fascinating, we explore this type of amazing stuff.
Stuff about ordinary topics like cabbage and batteries and socks.
Topics you'd never expect to be the title of the podcast. Secretly Incredibly Fascinating.
Find us by searching for the word secretly in your podcast app.
And at MaximumFun.org.
The Max Fun is next week. There's a Max Fun drive next week.
That's right. And
yeah.
Yeah, just to let you know, the reason you don't hear us trying to sell you fun packs is because we're part of Max Fun. And it's just, you know, they have ads every once in a while, but it's mostly subscriber based stuff. So you don't have to listen to, you know,
a lot of ads.
A lot
of
ads.
You don't have to listen to the ads. Yeah. Oh.
I filled in for Maria? Did I tell you this?
I knew it was going to happen. How did it go? No, just said it was going to happen.
So it was at the Improv on a Wednesday night because I had to cancel two little sets in the city. So I got the call Wednesday morning that Maria was not well and had to cancel. Mm-hmm. And so the Improv, you know, put out some stories and tweets and stuff like that. And some people were mad in the comments because I guess I shared a tweet or shared a story and then someone's like, you're being set up to fail. Everyone thinks Maria is going to be there. So it was about a 2.5 hour drive. It was a rainy day and it was in Irvine, right? And then I get there and we had a decent sized crowd that some people just only wanted to see Maria and that was that and did not want to accept the substitution. So they're going to come back for her when she rescheduled in June, but it was fun. It was a lot of fun. It was a good show. And I was like, hey, I'd love to come back on more than 12 hours notice. So yeah,
right.
Let's try this again sometime.
Right. I'll be opening for Maria on those rescheduled June dates, both in Oxnard and in Irvine. And I too would love to do the Improv. Wednesday.
I don't know why.
Just a one-nighter. It doesn't have to be. You don't have to book me for a weekend. Especially drivable. Right?
Yeah.
The ones that are drivable.
Right, right. It's a really good room. It's a great room. It's a crushable room. That's what I love about it. And then Thursday I was in Bellflower at the stand-up. I think it's just called Stand-Up Club, right? In Bellflower. I was doing a Comedy Juice show again. So it was just a 15-minute set. And that was another long drive. Two long drives in a row. But it was fun. I felt, I got all my spots in before my trip to Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
Is there any comedy news this week? Was there any scandal this week?
There was, I think there were two last week that neither one of them I think we talked about.
Oh, okay.
It turns out comics, remember I was full of rage and...
You mean a minute ago?
There was... No. I'm exhausted from being full of rage. Mm-hmm. But last week I think that I had come off of like just a pile of edgelords and and so this time I'm better. This time it was who was married to Noah? Her name is Esther
Steinberg.
Friedlander? Steinberg? Yeah. Steinberg. Yeah, I got to meet her very briefly.
Oh, nice.
Love her.
And she said that...
Oh, she's great.
Oh, good.
And they just had a booba.
They have two. They have a three and a one. Shit. Two boys. They were going to come to dim sum this morning, but because of the hour change, everybody's clocks were off. And they couldn't wrangle the boys fast enough.
And I was like, the whole family came to Las Vegas? Oh my God.
They live in Las Vegas now.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yep, that's everybody. A lot of people live here now. Dennis Blair and his wife, they live here.
They've always been there, right?
10 years.
Yeah.
They used to live in Woodland Hills, I think it is.
Okay. Do people like it? Like Los living Angeles. There? Does Noah like living
so.
There?
I think so. I think he's early days, though. I have met a couple comics who lived here that don't like living here anymore, like they did originally.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to type a name.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then they got tired.
That's not a shocker.
And
that person left a great life.
Right. And but I think that much like whenever you move, you have to kind of choose to like it, right? You have to figure out how to make sure, because it's easy to be irritated by wherever you go. You know, let's say you move to New York. You're like, there's too many people. It's too crowded. And there's all the squashing. And if you move to Los Angeles, you're like, there's the driving and it's just all grouchy people in the cars. And there's so much. And then if you move to Chicago, it's the snow.
This
and,
is heaven.
You know, you move to Seattle. You move to Nashville and you're like, I can't eat lunch without someone playing a guitar at me, you know, and
or you're like, oh, hey, it's baby.
It doesn't
Austin.
Matter where. Well, and you can go anywhere and find a reason to hate it. So
right.
I think when you move, if I were to move here, and I will not be, I would live. I don't think I would ever come to the Strip unless, you know, I was saying hi to somebody but I have been off the Strip and they have really, really great coffee shops. And, and because of the rental car, I went to Barnes and Noble, Whole Foods and Kohl's. They have a Kohl's here. And my sister-in-law. Okay. So last week, was I talking about those stretchy pants?
No,
for
I don't
men?
Think so. Oh, wait. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, your brother.
Okay. Right. I get an ad every day, four times a day, for dress pants that are sweatpants, right?
Right.
Sweatpants that are dress pants, and they have belt loops.
Mm-hmm.
And so because I'm 3.5 weeks out, I'm so sick of all of my clothes. So I went to, and Kohl's has, it's all toddler made. It is not a positive experience, but I wanted different pants.
Yeah.
And so I bought a pair of pants that I was like, these will fit. They're so cheap. I'll just bring them back if they don't fit me. So I bring them home. I put them on. They're women's dress pants that look like sweatpants that look like dress pants.
Nice.
And I was like, what is happening? They were
$12. Oh my God.
And it's banana land. And they look like dress pants,
but they're sweatpants.
Like sweatpants.
Yeah, that's terrific. I haven't seen you this happy.
It's a real clock eater for me to say the word sweatpant, dress pant 1,000 times.
Yes. Clocking in and clocking out every sentence. That sounds delightful. I do think. I wonder what it'd be like to raise kids in Vegas. You know, but if you're they must have, I don't know what their school system's like, but that's quite a decision to move there with little ones, you know, because it's hard to leave. Once you get them in the school system, you're kind of, it's hard to leave that place.
Their kids though are 3 and 1.
Right. I know. I'm just saying.
So
like
they're
they...
just preschooly. Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. Once, if the kids are 5 mm-hmm. and 7.
Yeah,
they're kind of locked in a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just
because you don't want to change their
extricate.
Lives.
Extricate. Yeah. Yeah, because their lives having comics as parents is disturbing enough. I think. Anything you can
I
do.
I found
to
out today that they are
normal.
A member of a gym that has childcare.
Ah, was it a YMCA?
Don't know, but whatever it is, it makes them work out a lot.
Yeah. It's great
because they get 2 hours.
Sure,
they get 2 hours, so they go together. They work out, and then And then they get to eat an ice cream float if they want.
With the waffle in it. Are French we done? Toast. We're absolutely petering out. I mean.
We are a little bit petering out. I think so. Here's what I would like is I want to do. I'm just going to put this out here. I want to do all of these. I met with my social media lady and she said, I don't understand how you're getting all of these views, but they're amazing. And I was like, well, can we turn it into like $100? What, how? Mm-hmm. How do we
monetize?
And so, right. Well, what she said is that she can turn it into one-nighters. Like it could fill rooms. And so there's part of me that is ready. It's ready to take some chances, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
Other than that, what do you want out of this week, Lori?
Let's see. I want people to come to my show in DC. I want to have fun sets. I want to have fun in New York City. But mostly tomorrow when I get home, I want to hang out with my kid and watch a couple episodes of Fear of the Walking Dead.
All right. I love it. I want out of this podcast.
Oh, this is our
for the last 30 seconds.
Our last promo before the Monday. Please come to our show at Flappers Monday the 18th. Come to our show.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock show. Great show. Great lineup.
Maximum Fun.
A worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows
supported
directly
by you.